amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bible with you, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. I trust that you sense the presence of the Lord in this place. We pray all week long that God would make this a place of refuge, not only for the membership of the church, but for every visitor that would come through the doors. We want you to be able to just experience the presence of the Lord and to receive that which God has for you. God is an omniscient God. He knows all things. He knew who was going to be here before you even knew you were coming. And I believe He knows exactly what kind of spiritual message that each one of us have need of. And so I trust that we will receive that today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you'll stand with me, we'll read just two verses this morning, verses 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's the Apostle Paul writing here to this church at Corinth. It's God's message that has been preserved throughout this church age for His church and for all who would want to know the very words of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We thank you, Lord God, already for what we've already received and what a blessing it's been just being in the house of the Lord. But Father, now as we open up the precious word that you've provided for us, and I, Lord, look to present the truths of this passage right here. I pray that you would just give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can I tell you, this is what God, through the Apostle Paul, wanted His church to know. And not only did He want the church at Corinth to know that, but He has preserved it because Almighty God wants every church of this New Testament church age, for going on for some 2,000 years now, and who knows how much longer it will go on. But I'm telling you, we're coming to the very end of the church age. Everything is pointing to the end of the church age. But as long as the church is here, this is a message that God wants the true church and true believers to know. This is the foundation for biblical preaching. It's the testimony of God. Understand this. This is the God of all creation. This is just not America's God, but this is the God of all creation. Created everything that we see, everything that we have understanding of. God is a creator God, and this is the testimony of God, He says. The testimony of God for us today is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Wow, that's powerful. If you stop and think about that and understand what Paul is writing and what God has preserved for us, that's a very powerful, powerful truth. The testimony of a creator God is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So first of all, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have God manifested in the flesh. In Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin some 2,000 years ago. Now, Jesus did not come into existence at that time. He was there in creation, as John chapter 1 reveals to us, because He was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we find here that the Creator God became human. He was manifested in the flesh and dwelt and walked amongst mankind. That's what was taking place some 2,000 years ago there in that little tiny town of Bethlehem where He was born of a virgin. And that region of Israel that is still the focal point of the entire world There's a reason that is true. That small little landmass is the focal point and still is the focal point of the world. There's a reason for that. That's where Jesus Christ, who was God, made flesh and walked amongst men. We celebrate Christmas because of his virgin birth. We celebrate Easter because of his bodily resurrection. And we celebrate Christianity because of his life. Jesus Christ brought to us Christianity. He brought to us the very ways of God to be lived out in human form. A life that has impacted the world like no other life. A life that brought to humanity a definition of love. A life that brought to humanity a definition of grace. A life that brought to humanity the definition of mercy. That's Christianity. True Christianity is true Christ-likeness, and there's nothing that can come close to Jesus Christ and what he represented in his love and his grace and his mercy. And we're losing sight of that as not only as a people, as human beings on this planet Earth, but we are losing sight of that as a so-called Christian nation, as the United States of America. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, right before Paul tells them that I'm bringing unto you the testimony of God, and the testimony of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified, he reveals some things that we have in Jesus Christ. Verse 30 he says, but of him, and he's talking about God, the creator God, are ye, talking to humanity, in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. God became man to reveal to humanity godly wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, that's what the Bible's saying. God wanted the church to know, and he wants humanity to understand God's will for humanity. And he sent his son, his only begotten son, which was one of a kind, which was actually God in the presence of humanity. God became man and dwelt among us to reveal to us the nature of God, to reveal to us how God would have humanity to live their lives, to reveal to us a light of the world, if you will. And that light represents God. In Christ Jesus, as we look to this, and this is the testimony of God, Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ, God has revealed unto us, first of all, what he says concerning wisdom. It's a fool that says in their heart there is no God. It's a fool who says in their heart that Jesus Christ is not the only begotten resurrected Son of God. But as we look to Jesus Christ, we have the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God and how we are to think. Sometime you look at the news, you hear the news, and you see what's going on in this world today. And you, in your own mind, you, what's going on in the minds of people? What is actually going on in the minds of not only third world nations? We can somewhat understand that. But what's going on in the minds of the people of the United States of America that have the influence like no other nation has had, the influence of Jesus Christ? What's going in the minds of the people of the United States of America that would actually elect people that have a mindset of Antichrist? And they're going to pass laws and pass the different types of things that will hinder the spreading of the gospel, that will hinder the representation of Christ on planet Earth, Christianity. what's going on in the minds of people that elect certain ones that have a mindset that is so far away from belief in God. And even today, we're seeing it. I mean, who knows what's going on in the mindset of those running for positions and offices today? But the Bible says in Jesus Christ, God has revealed unto us wisdom. Biblical wisdom is the application of the knowledge of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. As Paul continues his second letter to the church at Corinth in chapter 4, in verse 6, the Bible says this: For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he's the one that established the sun to give the planet Earth light, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God sent his only begotten Son. Jesus came in representation of a creator God. And the first thing that the Bible reveals to us that he came to help us to understand is how to think. How to have truth and knowledge and the wisdom to apply biblical truth and knowledge to how we live our lives. We should never lose sight of Jesus Christ. Because out of sight, out of mind. And when you do not allow Jesus Christ to influence your thinking, you're apt to do just about any evil that anyone else is capable of doing on planet Earth. Because every human being on planet Earth has one thing in common. Every one of us have a sin nature. It's only by the grace of God that we were not raised in an environment that deformed our thinking to do some of the horrendous things that human beings do today around the globe. There's no difference as far as human beings. We're all created in the image and the likeness of God. And we all have, because of the fall of Adam, have a sin nature. There's nothing different but how that is our upbringing and what we listen to and how we are influenced and what we are taught, how it relates to how we think. And if we do not have right thinking, listen to me, we will do what's happening in the world today, and people will do some of the most horrendous things to other human beings that we can't even fathom. And God said, let me show you in the light of my Son, Jesus Christ, how I want you to love, how I want you to understand grace, how I want you to understand mercy. And as I have showed it unto you, just go out and show it unto others. That's the message that Jesus Christ gave to the church. That's what Christianity is supposed to stand by. He's established his church to be able to represent him. And we find that the church is to be established all around the world so that the world might have a true witness of God. So that they would have a chance to have right thinking through having the right knowledge. Amen. Which is wisdom. God has given to us wisdom. And if you keep Jesus Christ in your mind, you will have right thinking. Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. Verse 8 and 9. Jesus Christ. The testimony of God. Jesus Christ, first of all. His life. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. And where did Paul get it? Paul got it through looking to the life and the person of Jesus Christ. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Listen to me, Paul says you need to keep Jesus Christ on your mind. And if Jesus Christ is in your focus, then your mind will be filled with that which is good. And it will edify you, and it will allow you to edify everyone else that you come in contact with. Why? Because you will be representing the true light of the world, which is, if you will, Christianity. And the life of Jesus Christ is celebrated through Christian living. Amen. But we look in a world that is antichrist and becoming more and more antichrist. And because they are antichrist, they don't have what we just read. And when you don't have that to look to, you're apt to doing some horrendous things. The second thing it tells us that we have in Jesus Christ, the testimony of God, not only is wisdom, but the Bible says, and righteousness. Righteousness simply is what's right to do in God's eyes. In Him, we can know what is right to do. Listen to me. It starts with, first of all, wisdom, right thinking. And when you have right thinking, you're more apt to do what is right to do. We find in the book of John in chapter 8, let me just read it to you. You can write it down and go back and study these verses later. But John in chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus knew that. He knew that that's what the world needs. And He says in John chapter 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So listen to me, Christian, listen to me, whoever. The first thing that you need to do is look to Jesus Christ and find the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And once you have found Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, do not ever live or do not ever put Him out of your mind. Stay focused on Christ, and as you stay focused on Christ in every day of your life, He is the light of the world, and He will light up exactly what you are to do, how you are to live your life, the decisions you are to make. If we are looking to Jesus Christ, which is the light of the world, then we will have right thinking. If we have right thinking, listen to me, we will do right.
Because wisdom will lead you to righteousness. And after righteousness comes sanctification. Not only through righteousness I learn what's right to do, through sanctification I learn what not to do. Sanctification is being set apart from sin for God. You were not saved just to give you everlasting eternal life, although that is a blessing. That's a benefit. We have that. We have everlasting life. You were not saved just to live to yourself. God saved you so that He could work through you for the overall plan of being the light of the world, the salt of the earth. If I'm going to do that, I need to have the wisdom. I need to have the righteousness. And I need to have this idea of sanctification. That is what I should be set apart from, what I should not be associated with. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, let me read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. This is exactly what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You're not going to be forced to do or not to do anything. You have a free will. But if you are focused on the person of Jesus Christ and you have His wisdom and right thinking, not only will you look to do what He would have you to do, but you will also have enough wisdom to say, I don't think I should do that. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. Because I've been sanctified for the purpose of representing Him. Amen? That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I trust it does. It's Bible. The Bible makes perfect sense. And so we find in Jesus Christ, which is a testimony of God, we have these things. And last thing He tells us there in verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is we have redemption. We can know of God's redemption plan through the blood of Jesus Christ, which we'll be getting into in just a minute, because that's a testimony of God, is Jesus Christ. First of all, the life of Jesus Christ and who He was and how He lived, and then Him crucified. But in His life, we find that He became that sacrificial lamb. In 1 Peter chapter 1, because that was the only way that mankind could be saved. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 down to verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to me. The Bible says this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. This was God's plan. He would send His Son, first of all, to reveal what Christianity was supposed to be like, how we are to think, how we are to live. But He said, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, to give you an example of how to live your life as to please God, and to also to come to identify with humanity so that He would pay our sin debt on Calvary's cross, and through Him offer redemption. The testimony of God, the foundation for biblical preaching, is Jesus Christ, and then Him crucified through His death. Do you understand what you receive through Jesus laying His life down? He said, no man taketh my life. This is the Creator of God. He created all things. He is a Creator God. Man could not have taken His life except He laid it down. He laid it down, and through His death, we can be redeemed. Through His death, we can be washed. I don't know. Have you ever been out working really hard and get all sweaty and dirty and dusty? At the end of the day, you think, I can't even stand to smell myself. But you know that you have a room in the house that's designed for you to go into and turn on running water and be washed. There's nothing like, I mean, especially on a hot day, and you've been, and then to go in there, don't even have to have hot water. You just turn that shower on, and there's something refreshing about a shower that just comes down and washes all that old filth off of you, washes that stench off of you, washes, and afterwards you just feel revived. There's something about it. That's exactly the kind of picture you need to view when you get saved. The filth of this world, the sins of this world, the sins of this old sinful nature, through the blood of Christ being washed. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Through His death, we can be redeemed, we can be washed, and we can be justified. All at the very same time. Yeah. If you've not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, listen to me. First of all, you've not been redeemed. You're still on your way to a devil's hell, and you're going to die and go to a devil's hell if you fail to receive Jesus Christ. You have all of your sins and a sin nature on you, and you're going to give an account for all that. It's on you. And the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. That's eternal separation from God. That is eternity in a place of a place prepared by God for Satan and his angels, a place of eternal damnation, a place of hell. The Bible says that without Jesus Christ removing those sins and redeeming you and forgiving you and cleansing you, you have to give an account for all of those sins, and there's no excuse for that sin. And that sin, the payment for that sin and what you deserve is that place of hell. If you don't have Jesus Christ, listen to me, that's what you're going to give an account for. But if you come up here, even today, when an invitation is given, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to a place of repentance, you'll have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ by looking at him and what he's done for you, who he is, believing that he died for you, and he did. He resurrected from the grave, proving who he was. And he's ever living to make intercession for us today. If you come up here and just believe, put your faith in him and ask him to be your Savior, listen to me, you can be redeemed, you can be washed, and you can be justified all at the same time. And you can walk out of here just like when you get out of that shower after all that garbage and stench and filth had been washed away, and you can just feel clean, refreshed, given a new start. Hey, man, that's what we have through his crucifixion. That's what we have available to all humanity, not just to Americans, not to just a certain group of people, but to the whole world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can experience that today. Anybody with any clear thinking, with any wisdom, would want to take advantage of that. The only reason you would not want to take advantage of that is because you've been blinded. You do not have right thinking. You have been misinformed. You have been led astray. Wow. Him crucified, through his death, we have ability to be redeemed, washed, and justified at the same time. Through his death, listen to me, we have assurance of God and his love. There's no way that you could have been resurrected from the dead outside of him being God. And there's a proof positive of his love. The Bible says over in the book of Romans in chapter 5, what a great passage of scripture. I love this. In Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for you. He's seen worth in you. He's seen an eternal soul that God created after his image and likeness, and says, no matter what the world tells you, you're worth me dying for. Every young person needs to understand, no matter what the world tells you, God loves you. And God died for you to redeem you, to wash you, to sanctify you, to give you an opportunity to have right thinking so that you might turn out right and do right. And turn away and abstain from those things that you shouldn't be a part of. We have proof of the assurance of God's love through him crucified. We have access to a heavenly Father through the death of Jesus Christ. Hebrews in chapter 10. I love this. You say, I wish my father loved me. It's sad when children are raised without the love of a parent. It's very sad. When a parent is so selfish that they think more about themselves than about their own offspring. They think more about themselves than the commandment of God to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means to love them, to do what they have need of, to bring them up. It's so sad when a parent forsakes their God-given responsibility, and it happens. Many young people are being raised today without a loving parent, without a role model in the home. And then they find role models outside the home. And they find those that they think that love them, who want to take advantage of them and use them. But in Jesus Christ, not only do we have proof that God loves us, but through Him, you have access to Father, a heavenly Father. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 19 and 20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, if you have to understand the Old Testament Bible, the only way that the people could come in contact with an almighty creator God was actually through the priest. And even the priest is only only the high priest could go into the holiest. And that was the very presence of God. Only the high priest once a year could come into this presence of God. But the Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. He said, through Jesus Christ, we have a new and living way. We have access to God by a new and living way, which we have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We have, through the blood of Jesus Christ, access to the very presence of a heavenly Father 24/7. No matter where you're at, no matter what's taking place in your life, you can know that you have an almighty God who knows where you're at, who knows you better than you know yourself, and is waiting on you just to come to Him. Amen. Communicate with Him in prayer. Most of the time, young people think, no one knows what I'm going through. No one knows how I feel. Sometimes that's not only young people, we grow up that way. But the truth of it is, there is someone who knows you better than you know yourself. And you have access to Him through the crucified Christ. Through Him crucified. There's been many a time in my Christian life that I've went to God knowing that I have a God, a heavenly Father who loves me. And I say, God, You know me better than I know myself. Why am I thinking this way? Why do I feel this way? What's going on in my life? Help me to understand me. There's no one else you can do that to. Praise the Lord for our spouses. Praise the Lord for our family. Praise the Lord for our own mother and father, earthly mother and father. But there's no one who knows you better than you know yourself like God. And when you understand that and you know that you have access to this God and you can get in your prayer closet and you can just get alone with Him and He is going to meet with you, what a blessing. The benefits of Jesus being crucified. Access to God. And then lastly this morning, what do we have through His death? We have ultimately a deliverance from death and hell. In 2 Timothy in chapter 1, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 9 and 10, the Bible says this, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We have this in Christ and Him crucified, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now stop and think about it. What does the Bible say? Through His death, He abolished death. That means I don't have to die. You say, well, preacher, come on. The Bible says it's appointed unto man wants to die. And that is true. It's talking about a physical death. If we live long enough, eventually, because of the reality of a physical life, we are going to have a physical death. But when you understand what He's telling us here, He's abolished death. When a Christian dies physically, it just releases his spirit to live on. No Christian, nobody that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ has ever experienced death. We experience a graduation from a physical life to a life in glory. Amen. And when you understand that, it takes away the sting of death, doesn't it?
That's right, amen.
Takes away thinking about that loved one being in a grave somewhere. Takes away that sting of having to go and cry and think that they're there, they're in that casket. But that can be removed. Because it's been abolished. Amen. Amen. Come on, think about that. It has been abolished through the Jesus Christ being crucified. He has abolished death. So I don't have to fear it. Matter of fact, as I get closer to it, I can better be prepared for it and get somewhat excited about getting out of this old painful flesh. And one day having a glorified body that will never experience pain, death, or sorrow. What a blessing. Through His death, He holds the keys. Revelation chapter 1. To death and hell. And if you've received Him, you'll never see either one. So the bottom line, there is a God. He wants us to know who He is and what He's done for us. So the foundation for biblical preaching, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's exactly what we all need. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. It's what we need, but you have to be aware of your need. And you have to be willing to receive it. If you're not aware of it, it's because you've been blinded to it. Satan would love to keep you from ever learning about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what it means to us. But this morning, through the preaching of the Word of God, you have been reminded once again what God wants you to know. Have you received Jesus Christ? Are you aware of the benefits from Him being crucified? If not, this morning, maybe you need to come to receive it. Maybe you just need to come and give thanks for it. Maybe you need to come and rededicate a life that's going in a different direction. Whatever the need is. However God's speaking to you right now, and I believe He is, do whatever it is He's telling you to do. Follow Him. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that the message would penetrate hearts and minds and that people would make decisions that would draw them closer to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.